Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's an expert on today's topic. So you're in the multifamily industry. One very important component in having a successful property or properties is your marketing and leasing efforts. What can you do throughout the year to ensure that your properties are meeting their leasing and occupancy goals? Well, with this in mind, our topic today is how to create strong marketing and leasing programs. Joining me in the studio is Ross Fried, who's an independent marketing training director and business development executive in the industry. He's been in the industry for about 26 years.
26 long years, yes.
So this is kind of a daunting topic as far as there's so much that could be covered. But just break it down for our multifamily listeners, you know, as far as the differences between leasing and marketing and how they are go together, but how they're separate and you have to think of them sometimes separately.
No, it's a very good question. You know, your marketing is what drives leasing. So there's four P's to property management: people, product, price, promotion. So you got to have a great product. You know, you set it at a price that's comparable to your market. And then as far as promotion, it depends on what direction the owner wants to go in. Are they trying to sell the property? Are they a long-term holder? What kind of economic occupancy are they trying to bring in? And then, of course, it's the people. Leasing people have to recognize what traffic is working. And 26 years ago till now, that's what it still is. Mm-hmm. Leasing agents have to understand what makes the phone ring, what is working, what qualified traffic are they getting, et cetera. The marketing part, there's so many different ways you can go about it. I mean, now with social media, SEO work, there's a lot of ways of drawing the demographic of traffic that you want to come to your property. Mm-hmm. So as long as your leasing agents are understanding what to do, how to help themselves with social media and stuff, you can get a lot of traffic to your property.
Now, in the last 26 years that you've been in the business, obviously how you get that traffic to the property has changed drastically. I remember, you know, I don't know if it was 26 years ago, how many years ago it was, that, you know, you would go to a grocery store and you'd pick up a magazine that would have listings, or you go through an apartment locator, and I think those things are still around today. But what wasn't around back then was social media and the virtual visits that people can make. I mean, one of the guests on our show had said previously to us is that in today's time, you don't know how many opportunities you lost because someone went online and either saw a bad review or something they didn't like about the property and never actually physically made it to the property where you could talk to them face to face. What have you seen in that regard?
You know, you're dead on with the social media. I mean, if you're not in the marketplace and you're not posting and you're not communicating and you're not texting, then you're not a player. Yes, 26 years ago, it was the beeper.
Yeah.
So yes, a lot has changed since then. You have to be aware of social media and reviews. Yes, reviews will kill you. You need to answer them right away. With the social media, it's not just to get prospects. You need to be informed with your residents. You need to make sure that you're doing these resident functions. And people need to be engaged. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what property it is, you have to be engaged. You can do all the Google AdWords and people to look at you, and you're right. That's what's making the drive today. There's so many ways now that you don't have to spend money in the magazines, or you don't have to spend money on such internet sites that are very expensive. A lot of it you can do yourself.
And so what... when you're talking about a strategy for marketing, typically, I would imagine that's not handled at the leasing agent level. They may have input on what they think works, but there's somebody else, either an outside consultant or someone within the company on a management or executive level that is helping to figure out what that strategy is going to be. How do you see that take place? Because I know you've worked with companies that have had, you know, like in Houston, you know, 6,000 units, 14 properties, a lot of 100 employees that, you're working with. How do you get that strategy set, and what kind of input do you take from the people that are on the sites?
Well, the strategy is going to be property specific and depending on what the owner's game plan is. Again, long-term, short-term owner. You know, you look at the area, you look at the demographics, and you look at how can I get the best out of what's out there in my submarket. So it is a group decision. I mean, even as a consultant, I come in with my ideas and I still need to get the perspective from the owners and from the marketing directors and things of that nature. Believe it or not, I do ask the leasing agents, you know, where are you getting your traffic? You know, why isn't the phone ringing? And, you know, how's your resident referrals? Because you do need them engaged in that. I could have an idea. However, I still need to look at the leasing agents and the manager and say, what do you think you want to do? And unlike other companies that really the on-site people don't have a say, I'm very much involved in wanting to hear what they have to say, what they would like to try. And then, you know, you look at the numbers, you look at your competitors, and then you put together a plan. And the plan is a long-term plan, depending on, again, the owner's goals. If it's a short-term hold and they want to fill it up and, you know, they want to put it on the market for sale, then, you know, the marketing is going to be different. So each client is different. But the one thing that's consistent is if you're going to spend money, you better maximize your dollars. And if you're not going to spend money, you better figure out a way that you're going to get this traffic in quickly. Houston is a very soft market right now. It's heavily concession driven, and you really have to figure out how am I going to get great people to come to the properties. A lot of renters right now, the credit's very low, and they're concession hoppers. And our market allows people to jump from one property to another. So your marketing plan is important to make sure that you're getting the best people in that submarket.
Are you seeing the concessions, the heavy concessions you mentioned in all class of properties, or is it specifically to certain class properties?
Well, the A properties right now, they're giving away 2 months free rent, and they're competing with B product. The problem is that last year, so many people did renovations and, you know, they want their money back for the renovations. And the problem is that right now in the market, it's hard. It's hard to get that $100 for that ceramic tile. It's hard to get that $100 for that new appliance package. So if you're going to do something, then you have to entice them. The market right now averages 1 month or more concession. Or what they do is they reduce the rent and still try to give a 1 month concession. And it's a price sensitive market. So again, you have to figure out, am I going to reduce the rent and have more money coming in the door? Or am I going to take a chance on these $99 move-in specials and, you know, get more volume? I don't recommend these $99 and 1 month specials because, again, in our market, in 3 months they could be gone. And what'd you make? 2 months worth of rent.
Right.
So it's not worth it.
Yeah. So when you're coming up with these plans and you say you have the involvement of the owner in, do you go to the owner and say, we need to do something? We need to do something to stir up some traffic. We need to have concessions. What type of, how hard is it to get the buy-in of the owner on ideas that are maybe a little bit outside of the box?
You know, it depends on the owner. I've been very blessed to work with owners that understand that they need to put money in to invest into their property. However, in saying that, it's not always the case in spending money. Yes, we're still doing the guerrilla marketing and handing out flyers and going into the parking lots and putting flyers on cars and doing things of that nature. The owners don't mind spending money if it makes sense and that you can pretty much assure them that they're going to get a return. And that's the biggest thing, is the return. But most owners understand that they need to do all facets. Me personally, the first thing I look at is the resident retention and the back door. If your back door is controlled, then you don't really have to spend a lot of money on marketing. If your back door is not controlled, then of course, where are you going to get all these people? However, if you do marketing and get people in, well, if you get people in and get people out, it's a waste of money. So the first thing is to close the back door, do the resident retention, make sure that people are happy. And you need to look if you're getting referrals each month. if you're not getting four or five referrals, the residents aren't happy on your property.
And so when you say the back door is closed, what percentage of resident retention would you consider the back door being closed on?
I would tell you that if 20 people are up for renewal, that you better renew at least 14 of them. Mm-hmm. And you better know 90 days in advance what they're doing. And you need to go visit their apartment and see how they're living. And that's the key, is what you're doing to do preventative people from moving out. Mm-hmm. Looking at the work orders, and when you go to see that apartment, you know, are you empathetic? You know, did everything fine? Was everything not fine? And that's where I see a lot of companies make mistakes, is that they really concentrate on we need to rent instead of we really need to renew.
Yeah. And being proactive, as you said, I think is probably a major part of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and be back with our next segment. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of how to create strong marketing and leasing programs. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me is Ross Fried, who is an expert in marketing and leasing as well as business development, with 26 years of experience in the multifamily industry. Before we jump back into the topic, I do want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to provide guest ideas, show topic ideas, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. Ross, during the break we were talking about what is a very important component of a successful leasing and marketing program or a leasing program is to have the right talent out there. And I know guests in the past on the show have said that that's something that they struggle with, is to find good talent. Another thing that I've noticed in the industry, when I ask somebody how they got started, you know, someone like you who's been in there for 26 years, all but one has told me that they started in leasing, and now they're executives doing the management functions. They went from leasing to management. I've only found one person who started in management and went into leasing. You know, you have a natural attrition, I guess, if that's happening, where someone starts in leasing and ultimately after a few years, they kind of move into the management side. You got to replace those people. How do you find your best talent? What's your techniques?
Well, I'll tell you a quick story about myself. So mm-hmm. I got into property management when I was 17 years old. I was living in Las Vegas. I was a busser at Caesar's Palace, and I wanted to get in property management because in that time in 1993, I saw gorgeous women, and I thought, man, this is a great way to meet women. Mm-hmm. So I went and met with the leasing agent of the property that I was living on. And I said, look, I said, if you tell me when your owners are coming next, I said, I'll give you $100 cash. And that was a lot of money for me. So she told me when the owners were coming, and I was all dressed up, and the owners walked in. I said, hi, and I pretended like I was leasing an apartment. And they go, oh, where are the owners? They said, when did you start? And I said, right now. And I handed them my application. And that's how I got started in the business.
Wow.
To answer your question, I really like to look for new people. I want to find new people that are in retail, that are in the restaurant business, because they're fresh. And a lot of people that say they have experience, a lot of management companies didn't really teach them. So really, what kind of experience do they have? So a success story was recently by George Bush Airport. There was a waiter that was waiting on me, and he was phenomenal. You have this unbelievable personality that, you know, you make people feel wanted and at home. So I said, would you rather do something else? And he goes, well, you know, tell me about it. And I said, well, do you live in an apartment? And they said, yes. And I said, well, I said, you would make a great leasing agent. I said, you have the personality. You don't seem shy. You seem energetic. And he went on, and I think right now he's actually going on to try to be an assistant manager.
Yeah.
To replace, like you said, you have to have a strong bench. Yes, it's very hard to keep going after talent. But between the community college, which I've had the opportunity to speak at, and then just going in and just finding people. I mean, finding people that have been waiting for a break, the same way as me. It's very hard. A lot of management companies don't want to spend the money to train. And I've always looked at it the opposite, that if you find somebody and they're hungry, believe it or not, phone salespeople are unbelievable. If you have people that are selling for Sprint or Verizon, they have to make their quotas. So they are unbelievable salespeople, and I've been very fortunate to help some of those.
So really, a lot of it, that when you're looking for somebody to fill a role in leasing, the first thing you're keen in on is their personality. And the fact that you don't want them to be trained, where I guess they would have bad habits already, or they would learn a way that wouldn't be the way that you would want them to learn, that gives you a kind of a clean palette to work with. So when you find someone with a personality, what are the keys that you look for? What personality traits are important?
Well, I mean, the first one is, can you sell?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll sit in an interview and I'll say, here's my pen. I said, you know, sell it to me. Sort of like the Wolf of Wall Street approach.
Right.
I believe in that. And you want to see if they're trainable. Yes, they have to have a great personality. They need to be hungry. But the question is, are they trainable?
Yeah.
Are they open? Also, how are they going to handle multitasking? How are they going to handle customer service? Sometimes what I've done for companies is, you know, we'll let them try for a week and let them be an intern, and we do some training and we see how they are, and they do an audition, and if they're great, we keep them, and if they're not great, then we at least gave them an opportunity.
Sure. And when it comes to training, what does it take to properly train a leasing agent to be able to really get out there and start to feel that success? I mean, they're gonna mature as they go through the process and learn more. But obviously, it's important for them to start to feel like they're gonna be successful. Have to stay with it.
So you know, that's a great question. A lot of companies don't believe in the psyche, the same as a little kid going to the potty for the first time, teaching somebody the telephone skills, the overcoming objection skills, the closing skills, and things of that nature. And the leasing agent, I tell them, I say, when you come onto a company, you need to practice for 90 days, at least 30 minutes a day when you go home, to start building up a skill. And the problem is that they don't do it. And there's no accountability from the management company. You know, if you have a trainer, you're all over the place. And they fail. And simply like that, they fail. You have to find somebody that understands to talk on the telephone, which is the number one way that you get traffic. If you cannot talk on a telephone and you cannot have a conversation and you can't convince somebody that's calling you from wherever to come into a property, you're going to fail. And if you don't understand the skill set and the mindset of the psyche of selling, the psyche of reading a customer, the psyche of understanding that, yes, you're not going to have those impulsive renters, that you are going to have to work hard for those renters, that they are going to look for your competition. You have to know how to follow up, and you have to know that you read the customer. And then when they walk out the door, that you did everything you can either to make the sale that day or to set up a really good rapport where you're going to follow up with them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get that. And the reason they don't get that is because they're not accountable.
So when you bring on someone who's fresh and who's new, what do you think is the best way to get them indoctrinated, as far as, do you just throw them into the environment, or do you take them in a different environment, sit down with them, teach them skills? How's the best way in your mind to do that?
No, you have to handhold them. I mean, you literally have to be a mentor to them. Yes, 9 out of 10 people throw them to the wolves and figure it out. And when I started, here's a map, here's a key, go figure out where the model is and what's going on. You have to handhold these people. Mm-hmm. You have to give them confidence. And the problem is, if you throw them out on the property, then all of a sudden they're intimidated. And I would be intimidated too. If I was going to go at bat, and I love sports, and I'm about to try and hit 100 mile per hour fastball, and I hadn't been trying to hit 100 mile per hour fastball previously, well, how am I going to be successful when I first go up mm-hmm. there? So with leasing people, you really need to handheld them, and you need to be a mentor to them. And you can go over all the techniques, but it takes practice. You got to do role playing. They need to see how you go and show an apartment. They need to watch maybe how the staff is showing an apartment, how people are answering the phone. And then it gives them some encouragement and strength. The most outgoing person still can be intimidated if they don't really feel like, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So you need to take some time out to really get them to understand what they're doing, and you take baby steps to make sure that they do it the right way. It's not so much about throwing them out there, it's making sure that they do it the right way and they understand what the job's going to entail.
And how much of the training do you feel needs to come? I mean, obviously they have to have a good understanding of fair housing and things like that. So there's some training that they probably could get from the apartment association that provides classes and sure. those types of things. At what point should an owner or a management company make that investment to send someone to do that, when they know they've got a chance of being successful?
You know what? The Houston Apartment Association is a great association. Yes, they have classes. However, there is nothing like working with somebody in your company and them mentoring you. Mm-hmm. A lot of times now, there's, you know, Grace Hill, and there's online, and sure. you can go watch a million videos. I don't really believe in that. I think that's a good way when you're working with somebody one-on-one. Because again, if a company says, well, we need these 15 classes completed in 20 days, they're just going to rush through the class.
Yeah.
So yes, I believe that you do need the resources of the apartment association. However, you really need the resources of your company. You really need to have that manager, that leasing manager, that person is going to mentor them. And I know I've said that word a lot. Mm-hmm. You have to have people that are going to encourage them. The first 90 days is crucial. And it's not so much crucial of how many units did they lease? Do they understand what they're doing to lease? And are they improving their skills? Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to see on a week-to-week basis. Are they improving their skills? And somebody with an extroverted personality, they automatically have a little bit that the man upstairs gifted to them. Mm-hmm. So then if they take the skills that you're teaching them, then they're going to be successful.
Great. All right. Well, we are really diving deep into this topic of how to create strong marketing and leasing programs, and obviously talent is a major part of that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing today the topic of how to create strong marketing and leasing programs. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is an expert on the topic, Ross Fried, who's been in the industry, the multifamily industry, for 26 years as a marketing training director as well as a business development person, working independently now. Before we jump back into the topic, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Ross, we spent a lot of the last segment talking about talent, where to find talent, the importance of giving them some type of mentorship. I know that you have come from an environment where you were the marketing training director of over 100 employees that were in the doing leasing, and you were able to dedicate. I mean, the company that you worked with was able to dedicate an employee you to be able to take on that role. When we have listeners that have one or two properties, or they don't have the ability to have a full time marketing and training director on staff. What can they do? Because they have other things that they have to do, the owners of the company or the executives in the company. What can they do, and where do you see possibly them missing the mark on trying to do it, the things that they could do to stay on target with that?
Well, believe it or not, when you're a small owner, and yes, you can't spend all the money, there's YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, now there's all kinds of videos that can show people how to lease and how to manage and how to do those extra things. When you're a small owner, it's tough because, again, if you have 75 units, you have to hire somebody. But again, you're dealing with somebody that, you're right, that probably doesn't have as much experience. So, again, the YouTube videos, going to the apartment association. It's not necessarily that I think a small owner fails. I think that, does a small owner understand property management themselves? Mm-hmm. And do they understand really what they're going into? And when they buy the properties, do they have a very realistic goal as far as their income? And that's where I see people fail, is that, you get a deal, and a lot of times people fall in love with their real estate. I always tell people, it's a piece of property. Don't fall in love with it. It's there to help make money and help you for the future. And a lot of times the people are so attached to it that they don't always make the best business decisions on how to take care of the property and also how to find the right person. I can tell you a quick story that I was at a property and an owner asked me to come in and consult. And the owner's left-hand person, she was like 65, 70 years old. And she came, the owner owned a casino in Las Vegas. And when I walked in there, she knew nothing. And this poor woman is trying to figure out, how do I lease and how do I market and what do I do? And their delinquency was high. And there was just no guidance. And you figure even somebody like me, if you come in at a realistic price to help mentor somebody, you know, you just spent millions of dollars.
Right.
Do you want to spend a couple dollars just helping this person? And the person had a great personality. She was lost.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing everything. And she was doing it the old way, you know, writing things down and didn't have a chance to use technology. So I feel really bad for those people. So if an owner is going to buy something, they understand that they have to put a little bit of money into training somebody.
Right. And so then you've got a smaller properties that maybe have a manager or an assistant manager, but they may not have a dedicated leasing person because the manager or assistant manager takes on those responsibilities. They obviously have got day-to-day things that are jumping up with residents needing things done or trying to handle a complaint from somebody. How do you get them to stay on target if you were an owner? What do you do to keep them on target as far as leasing goals?
Well, I mean, no matter what position you are, you could be the porter. We're all leasing.
Yeah.
I mean, bottom line is that what the position is, you need to lease apartments. I don't even think it's the owner staying on task, that the people need to understand that they're a one person or two person office, and they better have the skill set to be able to still do sales. Now, that's where you sometimes run into trouble. You usually find one of two people. A salesperson is that extroverted person. They may not be the strongest on paperwork.
Right.
And then you have that operational person, and they have no personality.
Right.
So you really need to find somebody that has a little bit of both. But at the end of the day, no matter what position I ever was, we're leasing. We're answering the phone. Even at times, we've had maintenance people that wanted to learn leasing. You know, we'd switch for a day. I'd do maintenance. They would do leasing. So going into it, when somebody takes the job, they better understand that, you know what, you may be the manager. You're responsible for keeping it full.
So, you know, when you have a company that's a good-sized company, like you recently have been with, you got 14 properties, you know, 6,000 units, whatever it might be. You've got a lot of operational personnel. You've got managers, assistant managers. You've got the porters or the lead maintenance techs that are on site. The housekeeping staff that's on site. Those people can affect your product, the leasability of your product, by good performance, great performance, or poor performance. And so when you're handling the leasing people and then you go to a property where you're getting issues from an operational standpoint, what do you do to try and get everybody kind of rowing in the same direction to help the leasing efforts?
So when you're the marketing and salesperson, you're walking the tightrope between operations. Again, the four P's of property management that I talked about earlier. You know, again, it's working with the people in the company. However, are they the right people? And when I say, are they the right people, do they understand that, look, we're not leasing because we have so many people moving out because they've been waiting 30 days for their drywall to be done. Their floors are cracking. And depending on their operational goals or their operational budget, sometimes they're unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, it's working with the right people and it's working with the right teams. There's teams out there and management companies out there that, you know what, they're large and they have a lot of stuff going on, but at the end of the day, they look at their own bonus sometimes, and you really have to find the right clients where you can work together and you are working as a team. And the other problem is that a lot of the companies, even third-party management companies, they don't want to tell an owner, look, you know, we didn't anticipate this. This is the reality that with the back door and things of that nature. And you know what? After looking at your units, we really need to do A, B, and C. And what I tell people is that there's no reason to get, you know, into a tiff with an operational person. Go walk your units.
Mm-hmm.
Go walk them when you're doing renewals. Go see what's going on. And it's a no-brainer. If you're going to take care of the property, you're going to have a successful property. If you don't take care of it, you're going to have unsuccess, and you're going to spend more money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the budgets with the operational people need to be realistic. And when I say realistic is, you know that last year you had a ton of turnover, you didn't put money into it, or you didn't upgrade, or you're still having the mismatch appliances. You need to have a reality check of what are you going to do to keep it full. I've been very blessed that I've had opportunities to, because I came from operations, that I'm able to talk their language and for us to take it as a team effort.
When you look at properties and you assess a property and you're coming up with your strategy, obviously the perfect goal would be 100% occupancy, but I rarely ever see 100% occupancy. In some markets, I do, and in some types of properties, I do. But most of the time, in the recent years, you see in the mid to high 90s. What do you look at when you're trying to set that annual goal of what your occupancy percentage is, and how realistic does it turn out to be after the end of the year, when typically?
With my previous owner, that was his whole goal, was to be 100% occupied, and they looked at it as success, even if your rents were, you know, a little bit lower than your competition. The first thing you have to do is really understand your competition, and you really have to understand what are you competing with. You know, if you're competing where they just renovated the unit and you're not renovating your unit and they're only $50 more than you, you really need to have an idea of how am I going to compete with that person. Mm-hmm. When you set your goals, they need to be realistic goals. I usually look at what the last 2 years was and their average move in and move outs. And again, the seasonality that goes into that, and come up with a plan. And part of the plan is, what are we going to have to do to do a better job on our make readies? Mm-hmm. And looking at the expirations per month, having an idea of how much exposure. You never want more than 7% exposure at your property. So you're really looking at what months I may have a lot of turnover. And you're right. There's a lot of unexpected things that happen. I mean, Harvey, I mean, everybody, right. You know, I mean, that ruined everything for everybody and really changed the market. And I haven't seen the market really go back to place where there's a lot of mismatched people that, you know what, the property may have been a B+, but they had to lower their rents to fix Harvey. So now you have these big renewal increases. And again, is it worth the increase to get that $100? Are you really going to get that $100? And if you don't get that $100 and you let the person move, well, how long is it going to take to lease up that apartment? So looking at last year and the years before, occupancy, and really understanding what your competition's occupancy is as well.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to be back after these messages with our fourth and final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. We are discussing the topic today of how to create strong marketing and leasing programs. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a expert on the topic, been in the industry for 26 years, Ross Fried. who has been in marketing training and business development in the multifamily industry for all that time. And during the break, Ross, we were talking about there seems to be and can be a high turnover rate. What do you do? What advice can you give to our listeners if they're experiencing that high turnover rate? What can they do about it to try and make sure that the staff and the talent that they have wants to stay?
You're talking about the employees wanting to stay.
Yes.
Life for a leasing agent or an on-site person is not the the last thing at the year at a Christmas party. Giving somebody a Starbucks card and having a note on their desk when they first come into work, going to lunch with their supervisor, really understanding the employee, and you really need to understand the employee and what happens when they leave the job. And, they are going to families, and you have to be empathetic, and you really have to understand that, how you treat that person on site is going to make or break, because they can go anywhere. Life's too short, and the only thing that we can't make up for is time.
Right.
And I tell people today and the generation that's going in today that, we have a lot more issues than we did when I started in 1993, and the world is a totally different place. And you need to be that empathetic, sometimes guidance counselor, or, you have to be that mentor. You really need to take that person and say, I have your back. And a lot of times, a manager or a leasing agent is going to make a mistake. And again, it's not the end of the world. And you really have to make sure that you convey that to them, that, you had a bad day, or, I know you were a little off today, or, I know you were sick, and you should go home because you're sick. I mean, that's the greatest example is why companies let people come in when they're deathly ill or their child's deathly ill, because, again, it brings on stress that's not necessary.
Yeah, well, I think even in the best of situations, people who are working inside of a management office at a multifamily property, it's not going to be all, roses and parades. You're dealing with residents, and residents are going to have issues, and how they handle those issues, they may come in with all guns blazing, or they may be very reasonable about it, but it would be easy, I would think, to let the stress of being in that environment start to get to you after a while. And if you didn't feel like you were appreciated, then maybe you are going to go out and look somewhere. So what you said, I think, is absolutely correct. There's a certain burnout, I would imagine, that occurs not necessarily with the industry, but with that particular environment, and they want to go to a new environment. What do you do when someone isn't expressing that, or is it too late once they express it?
Well, I always tell people that if somebody leaves you for a dollar, they hated you.
Yeah.
I mean, if they leave literally for a dollar or the same amount of money, they hated you. I think that, and I've always thought that property management is like marriage. You're into that marriage, and are you going to stay in that marriage? And you're right. It's two people, sometimes three people. And yes, like anything else, a leasing agent, a manager, they have a boundary. And if you cross that boundary, then yeah, you may be at the path of no return. However, I've also seen people that has gone back and retrained them and re-energized them. And again, it was just having a different way of looking at them. I had a client in Las Vegas, and that's what they really believed in, was that we are going to exhaust every possible way to try and rehabilitate that on-site person. And it does work as long as you change your view. At the end of the day, whoever the supervisor is or the consultant or anybody, we're accountable. And we need to make sure that our on-site staff understands that we're accountable. Mm-hmm. And when they're getting the blame and the buck stops with them, then of course they're looking to quit, because there's only so much that they can do. So if they have a manager or a regional that's insecure, or they're worried about their own job, yeah, they're going to blast their on-site staff, and the on-site staff's going to say, I don't need this, and I'm going to take a look elsewhere.
Right. Well, we've got about minutes or so left in this segment and in the show, and I want to cover two more things with you. One is, and we can get into this as the second one, which is the seasonality of marketing properties. There is a season, there are seasons to market, and I want to get your thoughts on that. But also, I know when in your responsibility as training, as a trainer in the companies you work with, that it's not just training the leasing staff, you train the management staff. What have you found with that you can share with our listeners?
Well, a lot of managers, they come from all kinds of worlds and all kinds of experiences. So one thing I like to do is when we're interviewing a manager is I want them to go to property and I want them to figure out if they were the owner, what would they do to the property and what they view as the submarket. And I'm also looking for, when they do their presentation before we hire them, I want to see if they're a leader. And I want to see that as a leader that they're accountable. And during this process, what we do is we'd usually have them go out to the property, give them a couple days, you know, do the market survey, things of that nature. And you look for, besides their knowledge, you look for what's their impression on people. And you know right there and then if they're going to be that right person for you. And again, they have to mesh with a culture of a company. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes difficult for people because depending on the culture, they may not be the right fit for the company.
Sure. Yeah. And there are so many different companies that have different cultures. There's family-owned companies. There's corporately owned companies that are huge and have offices, you know, across the country. And someone has to be the right fit for that. You're exactly correct with that. Let's talk about the seasonality of leasing. I know that in talking to people in the past, they've told me that when you get to the holidays at the end of the year, it's a tough leasing time, and people try to do creative things to drive traffic at that point in time. What have you found about the seasonality?
Well, there's four quarters to property management, you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. When you're going into that high turnover and high leasing season, again, what did you do in January to get ready for April?
Right.
I mean, what did you do last year to prevent a lot of leases happening during that period of time? So even last year at 2018, and you're in November and December, what are you doing to think about February and March and mm-hmm. April? Again, there's only so much money you can spend on marketing. You could spend thousands of dollars. If you're not prepared for how many leases are expiring, you're dead.
Right.
And if you're not getting those extra resident referrals a month, you're dead. So when you're looking at marketing, I'm looking at marketing my existing residents and doing what I can. Because at the end of the day, you're right. If you're going into that fourth quarter and you have a lot of vacancy, you can do all the concessions in the world. You're going to have people leaving, people going to stay with their family for the holidays. They're spending money on the holidays. So you better be prepared in that second and third quarter to have everything humanly possible leased up and have a manageable amount of inventory for the end of the year.
So, you know, we've talked about resident referrals. What are you seeing programs that people have for resident referrals?
Most people do like a $250, $300 off their rent after somebody has stayed in the property for 90 days that they have referred. You know, I've seen people spend lots of money on referrals thinking that it's going to get more referrals and it doesn't. I had a client that heavily believed that if they paid a lot of money, that they would get certain referrals. So I went out to their property. They were offering a $500 referral. And they're like, Ross, I don't get it. I offered this $500. Two referrals is $1,000. Why am I not getting any? And I said, they hate you. I said, they're not taking care of the apartment. And you know what? You can give them all the money in the world. Why are they going to have a friend or even an enemy that want to come? It's not worth the $500 or $1,000 to them.
How did they take that?
Well, the client was a little shocked that the person that they hired said that they hate you. But I think after digesting that, he and she got that.
Yeah.
They did hate them.
Right.
I mean, you had vacancy and nobody's referring and you know, you have a humongous back door and, you know, you're like 75, 80% occupied. So yes, you had to tell somebody. And yes, coming from originally New York, I am very upfront and blunt. I said, they hate you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think one of the things that that people deal with is the perception. And they many times have the wrong perception about things, or they've convinced themselves that we're doing everything right and so forth. And my father used to always tell me, it doesn't matter what you think people think, it only matters what they really think. And trying to understand what they really think, sometimes they need to bring someone in like you who's a consultant that can really get to the truth and say, this is what's going on out there. You may not like it, you may not want to believe it, but this is what's going on. And that's why I want to ask you how they took it. Did they at some point in time say, hey, you're right, I can see that? Or were they in denial?
I've had some people that were in denial.
Yeah.
And those were people that I didn't want to work with. And I had some people that had a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
And yes, they understood and they did need to hear it. And a lot of times, you know, I'll look at the management company, but I'll look at the owner and I'm going to look at the owner and say, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You put up with this for so long. You let it happen. You let it get this way. You know, the management company is the management company. At the end of the day, you need to do what's right for your, you know, multi-million-dollar investment. And if not, then you shouldn't be owning a multi-million-dollar investment.
Sure. Well, we're going to be coming to the end of the segment soon, but I wanted you to give our listeners one tip. If you could give them one tip about leasing, marketing, what would that tip be? What would you tell them to do?
With leasing, understand your customer. Really understand and get to know the person that walks in the door and make sure that you understand that when they sign that lease, you're married to them for 12 months.
Yeah.
So you better have done a good job wooing them, and you better be prepared to woo them for the 12 months.
Yeah.
As far as marketing, again, really understand your demographics, understand the area that you're in, and really target the best possible people in that area of your submarket.
Great. Well, tell our listeners if they wanted to get in touch with you to find out more about how you could possibly help them, what can they do?
They can email me at Ross, R-O-S-S, Fried, F-R-I-E-D, 43@gmail.com. And I'm also can be reached at area code 702-429-3490.
Real quick, just a 30-second, how'd you get in? You kind of told in the beginning how you got in the industry and how you got from Las Vegas to Houston and so forth.
I had an opportunity to help a company with their marketing and training. So Las Vegas is booming. A 10-year-old can run a property right now because it's booming. So Houston was an opportunity that I could come and really work as a team with people and help the market. It's 91% occupied right now.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I think our listeners got a lot out of that.
Thank you.
We're going to be back next Friday and each and every Friday right here on 1110 AM KTEK. We're going to be back at 10 AM next Friday with another industry expert or power panel of industry experts. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.